Okay, the date is May 31st. It's 1500 hours, and I'm talking to Mary. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and your date of birth is? Okay. And do you happen to know your driver's license number? All right. Obviously, you know why I'm here to talk to you. And this is about what happened at your friend's house. Can you go ahead and just sort of walk me through what happened, and then we'll kind of go back through step by step after
sure.
that?
I got home here about 8 o'clock, and I believe it was about 8:10, 8:15, roughly, when my phone rang, and there was some whispering that I could not make out, literally could not make out anything, but I thought I heard the word mom, and then there was screaming, and the screaming was so bizarre, it almost sounded at the end like there was laughter, and I thought it was just a prank call from kids.
Okay.
Because then there was, and I said hello, because somebody was screaming, you know, if there was something wrong, I was, you know, asking, you know, saying hello, there was nothing. I sat there for a minute, and I hung up. Nothing registered as far as, I couldn't make out what they were saying, and then about maybe 10 minutes later, their eldest daughter came to my front door, hysterical, that her mom, and telling me that her mom had been assaulted, and she wanted me to go back and make sure her mom was okay. She was at the same time on a cell phone with 911,
okay.
And she was having a hard time talking to 911 because she was very upset. So I asked her to give me the phone, and I talked to the people on 911, and just said, get somebody here now, there's somebody's been assaulted. And she says, yeah, I know, I've already got the information. And was really frantic, asking me to get back there to make sure her mom was okay. The 911 operator was advising me to not run back there and wondering if there might be somebody else on the property. So I talked to her a little bit, not at length, but trying to make a good decision on that, and at the end she just said, I can't advise you what to do, because I can't keep you from going back there. And at that point I just decided I'm going back there.
Okay.
It all sounded to me like there was only one guy.
Okay.
So, and that he had already fled the scene.
Okay.
So, and I did know was still back there. I knew that too.
Okay.
So I went to get in my car, and as I did, the husband went flying by here ahead of me, so I hopped in my car and got back there. When I got back there, he was working over Carol. He's an MD, he's a doctor, and I knew he'd want me to see if the kids were okay. I ran upstairs. He was on the phone with emergency. I think the sheriff was there. And we were just screaming at him to please get somebody here. He was just screaming for a rescue team.
Right.
And so I ran upstairs, and the two kids were upstairs, and the pool man, all with trauma to the head from a gun.
Okay.
They were all hit with a gun on the back of the head. They were all conscious when I got back there. And I was helping Jeff during that time. He needed things. He asked me for oxygen in his closet. He asked me for towels. He asked me for his medical kit, which I couldn't find. And so I just did what I could to help him. I don't know how long it took for the rescue team to get there. It just seemed too long.
Sure.
And then they all started arriving. And they were breathing, you know, put Carol was, you know, on, they were breathing for her. And so I was just in contact with, you know, Jeff about what else he wanted me to do. And then he instructed me to, as we all went outside, she was going to go to Los Robles, and he asked me to make sure that the kids would come to Los Robles, not
okay.
to SUNY Hospital, not anywhere else, because he wanted this family together.
Right.
So I did everything in my power to make sure that happened, because there were some roadblocks in that happening. They sounded like they weren't going to do that because Los Robles told them, you know, we don't have any room or whatever. And right. I said, because he gave me the authority to drive his kids there. He said, do not let them go anywhere else. You drive them over if you need to. So I said I would. So finally, after that was a little while before that finally got worked out. And then I took, I let him go ahead and transport me to Los Robles because that's where I wanted to go.
Right, okay.
And that was it. I was talking to the kids, you know, about what had happened. And not tons, because it was more important to make sure everybody was okay. And,
okay.
And I did notice that the door upstairs in the bathroom, there was a lot of blood around. The door upstairs had been ripped from the molding around it. It looked like, you know, it had been locked, and then somebody had basically ripped it right off the frame.
Okay.
To get in.
Okay. Does that kind of take you to the end of it?
Yes, after the rail transport.
All right.
As far as everything that went on back at the house.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll go back through now. I want to kind of go slowly through it again now. So you get the phone call about 8:10, 8:15, and then about 8:30 is when their daughter gets to your house?
Could have been a little sooner than that. I feel like it was a little earlier. I think, you know, maybe it was like 8:10 and then maybe about 8:20.
Okay.
For the phone call and the call.
Okay. Now, when she got here, what did she tell you? I mean, obviously, she was panicked. I understand that it's very difficult to understand, but do your best to kind of tell me what she relayed to you.
Right. She said a man came in our house, let's see, she wasn't here, she was on the phone, now, and I heard some of this later from her too, when she was a little calmer.
Okay.
But they were driving, her dad, Amy, were in their car, driving to a class, he was taking her to class, and he was talking to Carol on the phone, and while they were talking, she said, a man just walked in the house and she started screaming. Amy did relay this to me at some point. And she told her dad, you know, what happened, and they turned around and flew back here as fast as they could.
Amy was talking to her mom.
I think Jeff was on the phone.
Jeff was
on,
okay.
Oh, yeah. Amy, okay, yeah. Wait a minute. I think Jeff was talking to her.
Okay.
I know that they know.
Okay.
So when she came to my door, her big thing was that my mom's been assaulted. She's been, you know, I don't know, I think she said she didn't know if she was shot or hit over the head. She didn't know.
Okay.
And she just wanted me to get back there.
Okay. So she hadn't been to the house. She was dropped off by
Jeff. She was dropped off, I think, right on this street.
Okay.
It could have been on Brittany Park.
Okay.
You know what? Yeah, because that's, I don't know which street it was.
Okay, well, that's
and
fine.
And he told her, please.
Okay, go to the, okay, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so then she's at your door and you see him take off because he's now leaving to get back there. Because it sounded like she had been here a while and then you saw him drive by.
No, I had been here for a little bit. Jamie was here for a little bit before Jeff went by.
Okay, so did you happen to notice him when he dropped her off? Did you see him at all?
No.
Okay.
No, I didn't see him at all.
Okay.
And I asked her, I said, what's going on with your dad? And I think she said that he was chasing the guy.
Okay, that makes
downtown
sense.
And
he probably turned around and went back out
he
towards
went
the
out,
front.
Yeah.
Because he saw the pool guy. Well, what he thought
they,
was...
Jamie said they saw the truck.
Okay.
That they recognized the pool truck, but the person driving the truck wasn't the pool guy.
Perfect. Okay. That part
And then he cut her off. He cut the pool guy off, and then the guy started taking shots. I don't. And at one point, he got her out of the car. Believe.
Okay. That kind of makes that sense there. So when you okay, so now you take off and you get up to the house, you come in, and
when I get to the house,
and you go in. Do you go in through that the side door, kind of the side door that leads to the kitchen?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. All right.
That's where I went in.
Okay. And what? I know this is difficult. Tell me.
Yeah,
kind of describe what you're seeing.
Some blood, not tons of blood, but blood, you know, drops.
Okay.
And Carol, lying on the floor, and she was working all the time. I actually didn't even look at her face. I just didn't want to at that point. I just knew I needed to get up and help the kids. And but I could see her feet and her legs were kind of sticking out between two islands.
Okay. So you then go upstairs?
Yeah, I went immediately upstairs to the kids because I knew that's what Jeff wanted to do.
Okay. And you get there. Where, what room were they in when you found them?
Top of the stairs is a big, open, wide open area. The school room. They have, I'm almost positive they were all right there. Out in the open bathroom. I'm not 100% sure.
Okay.
And all three of them were together. I think they were all in that big open area up there.
Okay. So there was the, it was the pool
and
guy,
then,
okay, and the two children.
And the two children.
And you said they all had injuries on
the,
on their heads?
Yep.
Okay.
And the pool man, I think he was an EMT. He said, I guess he knows something about, you know, this kind of stuff.
Okay.
And he had helped wrap Jeffrey's head and, you know, he'd done, he'd checked Carol out at one point.
Okay.
He'd gone downstairs and checked her out at one point.
Okay. All right. Did they tell you what happened to them?
There was just bits and pieces of it. I was running back and forth.
Sure.
I knew that they were okay,
mm-hmm.
and I knew Carol wasn't. I really, and Jeff was yelling at me to get different things.
Okay.
So I knew that that was the first priority, was to get him whatever he needed.
Okay.
I hugged the kids. I just held on to them. We, you know, I knew it wasn't really the time to get the whole story. I just was trying to do everything for Jeff.
Absolutely. Okay. All right. So then you're back down there. You get him the oxygen. You're trying to find him his medical kit.
Mm-hmm.
And you say it feels like forever that before help arrives. Okay.
Yeah. I don't think I'm dreaming on that.
You know, being so far out in, you know, Santa Rosa in the morning, it's difficult. So, did Jeff tell you anything about what happened to him during this? I imagine no, but I have to ask.
Nodella?
Yeah, about what happened in terms of everything.
About the shooting and all
that?
No.
No, okay. No. I mean, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, not an issue at that point.
Okay. All right. That sounds, I think we pretty well got it. I don't want to belabor it at this point.
Okay.
If there's more questions, I'll certainly contact you at a later time.
Sure.
So we'll go ahead and conclude the interview. It is 15 hours going on.